What's happening, Dr. Dre?
Let's get this party
What's
started.
What's going on, Rob Ford? Oh, you know, we got to get a party. You know, we got to get a party. Got to get this party started. You know what time it is. The time is now. Are you ready, Rob?
Come on with it. Come on with it.
That's right.
Well, we got man. NBA draft talk tonight, people.
Well, man.
Your time is up. My time is now.
College football playoff is here, people.
That's right. Welcome, of course, to Talk Your Sports with the 12th Man. It's so excited to once again have a packed show for you guys. Today is Wednesday, June the 27th, and, of course, I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. We got a packed show tonight, and we have a lot of stuff to get to. I'm going to go over the agenda and all that fun stuff, and we'll talk about the tweets and the numbers and all that fun stuff. But we're excited once again to get this party started. So, Rob, if you let me set the table once again, we've got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to talk about the college football. The new playoff format has been approved. Man, it is finally here. Excited to talk about that. We're going to touch base about Drew Brees and his contract. Obviously, a lot of things going on in New Orleans. We're going to talk about the NBA trades in the past few days. A lot of activity has been going on with that. Maybe we'll definitely recap some of the NBA finals and predictions for next year. We're going to talk about the NBA mock draft. Obviously, the NBA draft is tomorrow. And Mr. Anthony Davis, the number one pick, he's got a lot of trademarks going on, so we'll talk a little bit about that. No unibrow here, but I'm turning the show over to Rob. How you doing, sir? You ready to get the party started, sir?
Doing great, man. We got a lot to talk about in a short period of time, man. So let's jump right into it, man. We don't have to waste any time. You jump right into college football. Finally, after so many years, Division I football is finally moving forward with a playoff system. You know, albeit not a great one, but, you know, it is a playoff system. I think the perfect system would have been an 18 playoff. You know, and but we got a four-team playoffs. So we're going to take the best four teams in college football. We still have two more years under the current system before we move into the four-team playoff system. So we still have to go two more years through the current BCS before we get to the system. But it is a step in the right direction. Like I said, preferably I still would like to see an 18 playoff. But, you know, it's still better than what we currently have moving into a four-game playoff system. You know, one versus four and two versus three. To give you an idea of how that possibly would have worked this past season, we probably would have had LSU playing either Stanford or Oregon with one versus four, and we would have had Alabama versus Oklahoma State in the two versus three matchup.
Man, that actually seems like a pretty good format from the way that it's positioned now, too. But, you know, like I said, I think we're excited that I think at least everyone's been hearing, obviously the NCAA has been hearing a lot of the complaints, or not really complaints, but a lot of things that a lot of people have been saying. And I think now this is a great start. Hopefully this has been, I think this is going to go start out in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, until about 2025, if I think that's correct.
Yes, it's going to be a 12-year system.
Okay. So basically I think somewhere in the middle, I think they're going to definitely come back and kind of see how it plays out. And they may get a chance to kind of make some adjustments to that, too, maybe adding, you know, two more teams to a 6-8, and kind of see how this plays out, too. But right now, I think everyone's kind of dipping their toe in the water, testing it out, and, you know, seeing how it's going to actually progress.
Yeah. And to think about it, I think what's going to be interesting about this system, you know, are we going to put preference toward teams that win their conference, or are we going to take the best four teams? That's going to be interesting to see. At the end of the regular season, this past season, you know, Stanford was ranked number four, and which means if you would have went by the rankings, LSU would have played Stanford. But Oregon was ranked number five. I don't know if you remember this, but Oregon,
I remember that, yeah.
Even though they were, Oregon was one ranking behind Stanford, but Oregon was the Pac-12 champion. So I would think if this system was in place this past season, the committee would have picked Oregon over Stanford, even though Stanford was ranked fourth, just because Oregon had won the Pac-12. with them being that close in ranking, they would have took the team that won the championship in that particular conference. So you probably would have had LSU versus Oregon this past season in one semifinal matchup. They would have had Alabama against Oklahoma State. They probably would not have taken Stanford, just because even though Oregon had two losses, Stanford only had one. Oregon beat them head-to-head. Oregon won the Pac-12 title. And so it would have been the rematch of the opening week of LSU versus Oregon, more than likely, if we had the system in place this past season. But it's going to be interesting. You know, next year we're still going to be under the current BCS with 1 versus 2, and we'll play in Miami. And then the following year, 1 versus 2 will play in Pasadena, and then we'll finally get to the 14 playoff system.
Gotcha. Well, hold on real quick, Robbie got a quick call, so I'm going to go ahead and grab this call, and we'll see what this person has to say. Hello, caller. You're joining into Talking Sports with 12 Men. What is your question? Hello, caller? Okay. Caller?
Caller, you there?
I guess they want to hold off. All right, we'll mute that person for a quick second. For those that want to call in, once again, the number, and this is a good time to actually throw that out there, it is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Don't forget to check us out via Twitter, at 12th Man Sports, and also follow us on Facebook as well. So we'll check back in and get that person on the air.
Please feel free to give us a call back if you got anything you want to relate to us. So please feel free. No problem.
Definitely. All right, so let's talk a little bit. Yeah, go ahead. I guess we'll wrap up the I don't know if you want to talk about anything else as far as the college football format, anything else you want to talk about.
Well, let's kind of move on. We got a lot to talk about, and definitely we want to move on to the next topic. We want to talk a little bit about Drew Brees' contract situation with the New Orleans Saints. For those of you who are not aware, Drew Brees had an arbitrating hearing today in Philadelphia. All about to see if the NFL is saying that this is the second time being franchised or is this first time being franchised under the new collective bargaining agreement. And you know, he was franchised in 05 in San Diego, and but now there's a new collective bargaining agreement in place. And a lot of people are probably wondering, like, why is this a big deal? Well, if the NFL is considering this to be the second time he's franchised, he'll be due over $19.5 million this year if he plays under the franchise tag, where right now he will be getting about $16.5 million as a first-time franchise player, which means if he gets franchised again next year, he'll be considered his third, which he will get over $23 million for a third time being franchised. And so Drew Brees and his agent is just trying to find out if this is going to be counted as a second time he's being franchised or if this is counted as his first. Obviously, he wants this to be his second time, so it'll be more money in his pocket than it would be. You know, I guess a lot of people may be confused about why is he going through an arbitrator, but they're trying to, NFLPA is fighting on his behalf to try to, you know, make sure that he's getting counted as a second-time franchise player, which the NFL is currently considering him a first-time franchise player. I know it's very confusing. But in a nutshell, the Saints just need to give him a long-term contract, which, you know, we're still trying to figure out what's taking so long in that process. But from my understanding, once this hearing is cleared up, which should be sometime next week, it probably will speed up the process on a long-term agreement. So they were just waiting for this arbitrating hearing.
Gotcha. You know, it's interesting, too, and the thing that I would say about this whole situation is I'm going to add my little 2 cents here. Is that I'm sure whenever Drew Brees signed with the Saints originally, I'm sure his contract, and I don't know the whole details about it, you may know more than me, I think the contract was kind of a very friendly contract. I think they weren't sure what was going to happen because he was just getting over that torn labrum surgery, and I think they gave him
yes.
a pretty decent deal. And then obviously you saw how he's blown up the league, and I think it was kind of like, you know, obviously whenever he had that contract, whenever he left San Diego, and they weren't sure, you know, what was going to happen with him. So I'm sure, you know, the Saints like, hey, here's a contract that's kind of friendly. See how you guys do. And obviously he's turned out to be the MVP for the Saints. So obviously I'm sure he wants to get a deal that's protecting him for the future and to make sure that he's taken care of moving forward too. So I'm kind of sure that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. And I'm sure the Saints want to take care of him as well. But, you know, I think this is kind of like one of his last deals. He wants to make sure that and everything will be taken care of too. So
yeah, it's a complicated deal, and a lot of people forget. I mean, Peyton Manning a couple of years ago was franchised, and he just got his contract right before the season as well. So, I mean, it's not an easy contract to complete. At the same time, you know, I know a lot of Saints fans are kind of frustrated of why this is taking so long, but it's definitely not an easy contract to complete. But I think once it's all said and done, he will be the highest paid player in the NFL, at least until Aaron Rodgers gets his long-term deal.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers will surpass him eventually. But he'll be at least making $19.5 million, anywhere between that to $21 million, once this long-term agreement is in place. So that will supplant him past Peyton Manning's current contract.
Yeah, good deal. All right, like I said, we are moving right along. We've got about 19 minutes to knock out a lot of good stuff. So once again, feel free to join in, give us your tweets and all that fun stuff. And I guess, Rob, if you're ready to move on, let's go ahead and talk about the NBA. A lot of moves that have been going on the past couple days, you know, so basically a lot of fun stuff. And I guess let's hit the ground running. If you're Houston, you're making trades. If you're the Hawks, I think you're pretty excited because you just literally added Danny Ferry. I think this is a very great move. I'm a Hawks fan, obviously, so I'm looking forward to that. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about that, but just I don't know if it's a good move that you signed him so quick or if it's a bad move because you only got a couple days to prepare. You know, obviously anybody that comes from the organization of the San Antonio Spurs, I think it's a great, great move. He'll bring a very fresh perspective. And if you hear a lot of the rumors, actually right now, and all the Hawks fans are happy about this, you hear rumors that Hawks are trying to trade Josh Smith, some rumors about him going to Lakers for Paul Gasol, and some moves about him possibly going for some picks too. So a lot of movement that has been going on the past couple of days. And Robert, definitely want to hear your take on this, and we'll definitely talk a little bit more about some mock drafts and some players that you think are going to make an impact as well. So I'll let you to comment on that, if you will.
Yeah, a couple of things. I'll talk about Houston, and I'll talk about the Atlanta Hawks as well, and then we'll talk about a couple other things. Yeah, Houston is just slowly inching their way up into trying to get into the top 10 into this draft. Today they make a trade with the Milwaukee Bucks where they trade their 14th pick and Samuel Dalembert to the Milwaukee Bucks for the number 12 pick and a bunch of bench warmers, basically. John Brockman, John Brewer, and Sean Livingston completed that trade. So now the Houston Rockets have 12, 16, and 18 in the first round. They would like to somehow move those three picks into two top 10 picks so they can somehow make an attempt to package that to Dwight Howard. Not sure if it's going to work. As a matter of fact, I think it's more of a 10% chance that it will work. I hear their next best chance is to try to go after Josh Schmidt, but also, you know, as you just mentioned, the Lakers also have interest in Josh Schmidt as well. So that should be really interesting as well to kind of see where that goes. And I think with Danny Ferry on board, I think hiring Danny Ferry but right before the draft is a good move. I know Rick Sun has probably done most of the work for the Atlanta Hawks preparing for this draft, but obviously with Danny Ferry working for the Spurs, he's kind of been in their scouting department, so I think he knows all of these players that are in this draft, you know, both here in the States as well as globally. So he'll be able to put his two cents in the draft as well as far as preparing for the Hawks' future as well. So I think that was a great move by the Hawks getting him in right before this draft so he can kind of be in on the war room here as well. And so it's going to be interesting. I think the Hawks are going to have to move Josh Schmidt. You know, he's only got a year left on his deal, and all indications are he doesn't want to remain with the Atlanta Hawks. So right now you have two open suitors in the Houston Rockets, possibly, if they can't get Dwight Howard, which I seriously doubt they'll be able to get Dwight Howard. I think Dwight Howard is sold on going to Brooklyn. All indications are that Deron Williams will re-sign with Brooklyn, and I think they are convinced, even if Dwight Howard has to play another year somewhere, that Dwight Howard will be a Brooklyn Net next year. And Houston, they're making all these moves trying to get him, but I just don't think it's going to work. And so I think they're going to have to turn their attention to Josh Schmidt. Some other possible moves here, Lamar Kardashian is going to be possibly going to the Clippers here in the trade with the Dallas Mavericks. And so it looks like he's going to be going back to L.A., but it's going to be with the Clippers. The Clippers are trying to find a taker for Mo Williams to take on his big contract in this trade. But all indications are the Clippers are going to make it happen and bring Lamar Kardashian back to Los Angeles with the Clippers. So that should be interesting as well. And another thing I want to point out, too, the Charlotte Bobcats have the number 2 pick in the draft. All indications are they would like to trade out of that pick. Most teams in the league still think their asking price is way too high. They've even talked to Oklahoma City about James Harden for the number 2 pick. And I hear Oklahoma City is extremely high on Bradley Beal. So that should be really interesting if they're interested in trading James Harden just to get the Bradley Beal in that number 2 slot. The more logical trade will probably be the Bobcats moving out of number 2, trading down with Cleveland for the number 4 and the number 24 pick. And I think if Charlotte stays at number 2, they will probably draft Thomas Robinson. All indications are that's who they would take. But yeah. Cleveland is high on Bradley Beal and would like to move up to number 2 and get him. They get ahead of Washington because Washington is also high on Bradley Beal. So if Cleveland is willing to move up, Charlotte can move back to number 4 and still get Thomas Robinson because all indications are Washington will probably go Michael Kidd-Gilchrist if they can't get Beal. And so they can move down a couple of spots, get number 4, and still get a decent player at 24 as well.
Yeah, like I said, I got to give you a lot of props too, because a lot of times, obviously, we did a good job as far as tweeting, following a lot of things that have been going on. I think this has been one of the most exciting NBA drafts because we really don't know what's going to go on. Obviously, you got the number one pick, figured out, but after that, it's going to be a flurry of activity. And a lot of different teams are moving around, so this actually makes things a little bit more exciting, I think, personally. So definitely tune in and follow what's going on with that, too. A couple of questions for you, Rob, that I've been receiving. I got a question as far as how do you think, if you're Charlotte, do you think it's wise to keep acquiring young talent, or you think it's good for them to trade out of that pick and get more players? I mean, do you think it's good to add young talent to that, or kind of what's your assessment as far as Charlotte and their options as far as making some trades here?
Well, Charlotte needs players. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they only have a couple of guys on their roster. I mean, they make a trade here on yesterday where they trade Corey Maggette to Detroit for Ben Gordon in a protected 2013 first-round pick. And there are some reports out, and this has not been confirmed, that Ben Gordon is considering retiring because he doesn't want to play for the Bobcats. And so even with that trade, they need players, and they need a lot of players. And if Cleveland is willing to move up to number 2 and give up the number 4 and 24 pick, I think Charlotte has got to make that deal. And just because all indications are Thomas Robinson is a guy that Michael Jordan likes with Charlotte, and they can get him at 4. They can still get him at 4, and they can get another player at 24. I mean, this team needs players. I mean, besides Kimball Walker, I mean, this team just doesn't have a lot of players on their roster. I mean, they need players. In other words, Tyrese Thomas regressed tremendously last year, and Charlotte is even trying to find a taker for him. And this team absolutely needs some players. So they need a lot of players.
Gotcha. Good stuff. And like I said, for those that are checking in, don't forget, feel free to call us if you want to add your thoughts or even if you have questions for me or Robert. The number to call in, it is 424-243-9519. That's 424-243-9519. That is a toll-free call. And don't forget to tweet us, put your post on Facebook, follow us. We have a lot of different ways to interact. We've got a lot of stuff going on. And real quick, and I hate to keep bringing up the Hawks, Rob. I'm not trying to take up all the time, but I did have a question for you, something that you talked about last year or something that you said to me earlier, I think it was a couple months ago, and very interesting comment because a lot of fans are upset about possibly Josh Smith being moved. And I think whenever you made a comment to me a couple months ago that before Josh re-signed with the Hawks, he actually had an offer from Memphis. And Memphis actually went and they gave him the deal, and the Hawks essentially matched that deal. And I think it was upsetting because at first we didn't really have an offer for Josh, but Josh had to go out and get it. And then from there, that's when we matched it. So kind of tell us a little bit about that scenario. And that's kind of where the Hawks are. That's where Josh Smith is thinking, you know what, you guys don't even want me here. So fill that in, and we got about 10 minutes or so, and then we'll talk about some other things and other moves that are going on as well.
Yeah, well, I think you hit it on the head there. Josh Schmidt was extremely upset with the Hawks organization a few years ago that he could not get that contract dealing with the Hawks directly, that he had to go out and get a contract offer from the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Hawks basically matched it. I don't think Josh Schmidt has not – I don't think he's been totally happy being with the Hawks ever since then. But, you know, he's got a contract there, and you have to come out and perform and, you know, showcase your talents around the league to still make yourself, you know, a valuable asset again when you do become a free agent again. And right now, I mean, you know, it's pretty much in his hands right now. I mean, he's got a year left on his contract. He can easily go to the Hawks management and say, hey, I'm not going to re-sign with you next season, so you might as well trade me now. And similar to what, you know, Chris Paul did with the Hornets last year, similar to what Dwight Howard is going to be doing to Orlando Magic right now. And so this just happens in the league. Whenever you're down to 1 year left on your contract and you tell an organization you're not going to sign next year, I mean, pretty much it's in the player's hands right now. So it's up to the Hawks to, you know, to keep him one more year and just let him walk, or to try to trade him and get some assets in return.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, it's very interesting, and I know as a Hawk fan, we are definitely we don't want to see that in certain aspects, because he is definitely one of the most talented players. And our fear is that with any player, like, you know, you trade him to another team, and then the coach gets the best out of him, and he turns into this great player too. So you know, obviously, it'll hurt for us, but, you know, sometimes you have that addition by subtraction too. So we'll see what goes on. I'm more of the camp of definitely, you know, grabbing extra picks, because we may have about six players in the contract. But we'll see how it plays out too. So, you know, like I said, it's a very exciting time. Got a lot of things going on, obviously. So we'll just kind of see how this plays out in the next 24 hours. And even during the draft, we got a lot of things going on too. So, you know, I guess that's it for now. Where are we at, sir? Well, we got about we're just moving right along, sir. 8 minutes to talk. Once again, I'm going to throw that number one more time, 424-243-9519. Rob, you want to talk a little about Anthony Davis before we jump to the mock draft? I'm kind of going to leave it on you, because we've got a lot of things going on, a lot more topics to touch base on, and we still got to touch in your mock draft, and I think that's kind of a subject that we can talk about during the OT, but I will definitely leave that on you, my friend.
Well, let's kind of move into let's kind of recap the NBA Finals here real quick. We'll kind of get into the mock draft shortly thereafter. Of course, the Finals was over as of Thursday night. Our last show was last Wednesday, so we hadn't had a chance to kind of dialogue on that. So we want to give our congratulations to the Miami Heat on winning the NBA title and completing that season, and just kind of want to give some early predictions into next season. I know there's a lot still to be done as far as trades and drafts and things of that nature, free agent signing. There's going to be a real frenzy here in the NBA all the way to the end of July, and it's starting already with the draft, and free agency starts, believe it or not, this Sunday in the NBA. So, I mean, it's just like one thing after another. It's going to be a big frenzy all the way through probably the end of July, with free agent signings and trades and things like that, probably even all the way up to the start of the season. So you and I both predicted Miami and OKC to be in the finals back in December. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, if we go through our archives, I think we both predicted Miami to win it. I know we've kind of changed our predictions a little bit throughout the season and even throughout the playoffs. We kind of were going
back and
forth. But I'm going to give an early prediction, and I know a lot of teams' rosters are going to change, but I'm going to say the same two teams will be in the finals again next season, and I'm going to pick, as of today, I'm picking Miami to win it again next year.
Wow, today is June the 27th, 2012, and you heard it, Hirsch Roberts predicting the Miami Heat to win the finals again. Interesting, versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's kind of tough, because I'm not sure what's going to happen next year. What you do bring up is a great point, and I think the word that I'm going to say is the D word, and that's the dynasty. Do you think that the Heat have what it takes to become a dynasty? I know it's tough to actually say that. And like I said, I'm kind of surprised. I could actually agree with you, but I didn't think that the Heat were a complete team this year. So if you add another, you know, couple pieces, the word on the street that you've predicted, and that Ray Allen is interested in joining the Miami Heat. So if you add that piece, I think he's a better shooter than Mike Miller at this juncture. You know, obviously don't know what he has left in the tank, but, you know, that attraction to other players will come in. If they get that draft pick, that big center, that could be a good piece for them. I don't think we're going to get Steve Nash, as we talked about earlier, because of the development of Mario Chalmers.
Yeah.
And also the way that Norris Cole's been playing, too. But you never know if they start getting some other players to kind of say, hey, let's kind of continue this and we'll see how that plays out. But do you think that they can become a dynasty, Rob?
Well, it depends on what you think is a clarified dynasty. Are we talking 4, 5, 6? I mean, that's still kind of hard to do. And I could see them definitely winning 2, getting their second next year.
I'm saying 3.
Yeah, if we consider 3 a dynasty, I can see them winning 3. I definitely can see that. It's hard for me to go beyond that at this stage, but I could definitely see them winning 3. I'm not saying they're going to win 3 in a row. I could see them winning 2 next year, you know. And like I said, you just kind of have to look and see from year to year how teams build their roster. And next year is going to be a major, you know, we got some big-time players. There's going to be free agents from Dwight Howard to Chris Paul. And, you know, Chris Paul is another player that hasn't signed a long-term deal with the Clippers. So what is he going to do? He's only got 1 year left. There's some grumblings that he's not totally happy with the Clippers now. And so that's going to be real interesting to see how that plays out as well. And Dwight Howard partners up with the Brooklyn Nets. He and Darren Williams, you put another player or two with that team, I mean, hey, they're in the contention in a couple of years. So, I mean, right now I'm going to say Miami gets number 2 next year, but I guess we'll – and I could see them easily getting number 3, but it's hard for me to look beyond that.
Gotcha. And I got to tell you, too, it's a pretty interesting point because, as we mentioned, we haven't talked about what happened with the finals. And I definitely want to give a quick shout-out to just – I'm very impressed with Kevin Durant because after the game was over, he went over – he gave LeBron James just a hug, and just it was good to hear the interaction. And it was pretty interesting. Obviously, we get Sports Illustrated the same night as our talk show, so we're excited to see that and what's going on with that. And there's a great article with LeBron James in there. And I think there's a good part in there where he talks about whenever Durant hugged James, he actually told James, he's like, you know, he shouldn't have any regrets. And he told him he continued to work. And I hope it's, you know, obviously them and us next year. And he actually said, you know, we'll see you guys next year again. This is what Wade tells Durant and Westbrook. So they kind of feel the same way that we feel that, you know, this team is so young, you know, OKC that is, and, you know, they're just in there. They're going to hit their prime, and they're going to get better. And losing actually propels you because, you know, obviously LeBron's a little bit older. And from what he did during the year, we made jokes about if he couldn't win, he's going to have to leave the country. And just the pressure that he had was just on him so much. And for him to deliver, that's a testament to LeBron, obviously. But, you know, it's not going to get any easier. So you're going to have a target on your
exactly.
back. And I think it's going to be interesting. But like you said, if we go on the limb and say right now, next year, yeah, it could be the exact same thing. I'm a big Durant fan. I hope they can somehow pull it out. If we get another sort of pure point guard for OKC and keep Russell Westbrook at that off-combo guard at certain points, I think they can be just as dangerous, too. So. That's me. Now, we got about 2 minutes to go. Man, the show always flies by, but go ahead. I'll let you finish a quick thought. I know we got about a minute or so kind of talk about that. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah, real quick, I'm going to make a comment on what Scott Brooks did, and then we'll close out the show and get ready for the OT. Well, I was really impressed with Scott Brooks did in the huddle at the end of the game. He said, hey, Miami Heat beat us fair and square. We're going to go over there. We're going to congratulate the whole team and and treat them like champions. And he was right. The entire team went over there and congratulated Miami Heat. I thought that was very classy what Scott Brooks did in the huddle, telling his team that we're going to go over there as a team and congratulate everyone on the Miami Heat's team. So just to kind of piggyback off what you said about Kevin Durant. But really quick, we're getting ready to wrap up our live portion of the show. For those of you that are able, stay tuned for our OT portion. We're going to be talking about the NBA draft. If not, join us next Wednesday night. We'll be recapping the draft, and we'll be kicking off the NBA free agency period as well. We'll be covering that as well. So join us next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific for our friends out in Los Angeles. Have a great night, people.
Thanks, guys. Don't forget to tell your friends, like us on Facebook, like us via Twitter, all that fun stuff. Follow us. We have a lot of updates. And we are here every single Wednesday, same time, same channel. We thank you for listening. And we definitely hope to get your feedback on your show. If you liked it or tell us what you want to add or even topics that you want us to talk about, definitely let us know. So we thank you guys for those that are tuning in. 424-243-9519. Keep that for reference. And we'll see you guys for the OT listening as well. Thanks, guys. We are wrapping up, and we are in the OT, Robin. Like I said, this is actually one of my fun parts because I get a chance to talk about a lot of stuff. And for my boy Tad that's listening in, and I'll give a shout-out to him as well. I know I got to work on the intro, too. He wasn't a fan of The Time Is Now, but we actually enjoy that, too. So it's good stuff. And so I find something that's a little bit more hyper. We'll stick with that, too. But anyway, let's talk about a lot of things that have been going on as far as things that have gone on in the NBA. Obviously, Larry Bird is stepping down as the president for the Indiana Pacers. Not sure if you know exactly why he did that. I think Donnie Walsh is going back in that position, if I'm not mistaken.
Walsh is going to take over president of basketball operations, and Kevin Pritchard is going to be general manager, yes.
Kevin Pritchard, okay. A lot of moves with that, too. So not sure why he – do you know why he stepped down or anything? Do you hear any feedback about that or –
Well, I think it was a mutual decision with him and the owner. I don't think obviously they had some kind of disagreement in the organization because, I mean, Larry Bird said a month ago, if Herbie wants me back, I'm going to be back. So, I mean, based on that comment, he's not coming back. I think the owner maybe wanted to bring Donnie Walsh back, a guy who's worked with in the past when Larry Brown was the head coach in Indiana. And I think it was just one of those things. I think Larry Bird's going to take a year off, and I think you'll see him in somebody's front office probably another year from now. It does not seem like he wants to leave the game at this point. He's 55 years old, so, I mean, I would think he could be in his business here about another 10 or 15 years if he wants to. And so I think it was just one of those mutual agreements to just take place, and I think the owner just wanted to get Donnie Walsh back in that position. A guy who's worked with in the past. And but I guess we got a little bit of time here to kind of tap into my final NBA mock draft, as the draft is tomorrow night. And even since I've done this final mock draft, there's been a lot of changes. There's been trades and everything else. So we'll kind of have to work with this for this current time. So I don't know if you had a chance to review it and got any questions on it. You know, if anybody, have any comments about their current teams or, you know, we can talk about that as well.
I like the moves. I think you always do a fabulous job as far as putting this together. I definitely like how you've, we've pretty much said that Charlotte's going to get, if they stay in this position, they're going to draft Thomas Robinson. And I think you said he's a Michael Jordan type of player. And I'm still... Like I said, I'm going to be curious to see if he's going to pick that or Harrison Barnes. And I know it's kind of weird. That's kind of where I still think a North Carolina connection can be. But, you know, like I said, I rest assured we'll see how that plays out soon. I don't have any other evidence besides that. Obviously, I think if you're Washington, Bradley Beal is a great pickup. We have going third. And I think you said that Cleveland was looking at him as well. They definitely want to scare him with Kyrie Irving and stuff like that. Is that what you were saying earlier? As well,
Cleveland definitely has Bradley Beal as the second best player in his draft, and they were really high on him in his workout. And matter of fact, Cleveland is actually pretty high on Bradley Beal and Harrison Barnes, but they like Beal a little bit better, and they would love to pair him with Kyrie Irving. They would like to move up to number two and grab him. I mean, it's just a matter of they're willing to pay the price of giving up their other first round pick to do so. We'll have to stay tuned and see. But I can tell you this, Cleveland and Byron Scott, they are extremely high on Bradley Beal. They think this guy could be as good as Ray Allen in his prime. They think he's got that kind of potential. And he's 6'5". He has the NBA body. He can really shoot the ball. Solid athlete as well. So they really see this kid being a Ray Allen-type player. And they really would like to get up there and get number two. But like I said, Washington is also high on him, and Washington will take him if he's still on the board as well.
Gotcha. Now, real quick, let's talk about, I think you have Harrison Barnes going to Sacramento. And forgive me, too. I'm not a I haven't followed them as much as I should have. But how do you know anything about how Jimmer Fredette did this past year? Was he pretty a decent player, or did anything kind of go with him, or is he a two? Or he's obviously a two, I think, coming off for Sacramento. But you know, obviously you get like that other piece, and you know, you still have Tyreek Evans there as well. And obviously you have DeMarco Cousins too. So you got like a lot of characters, a lot of nucleus with Sacramento. You know, tell us a little bit about that pick, and why do you think that would be a good move for Sacramento?
Well, Jimmer Fredette, I mean, the jury's still out on him and whether or not he can be a playmaking point guard in the league. I think he's better suited to come off as a role player off the bench. I think he could possibly be a Steve Kerr kind of player in this league and come off the bench and hit wide open shots. You know, you want to have some guys on your team that can draw double teams and kick it out to Fredette. Fredette can definitely play that role of, you know, a guy like a Mike Miller, what he did in Game 5, hit those wide-open threes. If you got guys like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade that can draw double teams when they touch the ball. So that's the kind of player you're going to have with Fredette. I don't think he's a starting point guard in this league. Doesn't have that kind of athleticism, but I think he's a guy that can hit the open shot. Sacramento, as far as taking Harrison Barnes, I think they will be ecstatic. I mean, my mock draft here has Michael Kidd-Gilchrist going four, but don't be surprised if Cleveland stays at number four, they may well take Barnes over Kidd-Gilchrist, and in Sacramento we get Kidd-Gilchrist as well. So, but I think they will be pleased with either one. Actually, I think Kidd-Gilchrist would be a better fit for Sacramento because I think Sacramento has a lot of scorers on their team already with Tyreek Evans, DeMarcus Cousins, Marcus Thornton. I think they can use a guy that can come in and be a versatile player, that can be a lockdown defender in Kidd-Gilchrist. You won't have to ask him to score a lot of points right away. So I kind of think Barnes could be even a better fit with Cleveland if Cleveland stays at four, and Kidd-Gilchrist would be a better fit with Sacramento if those two players will swap based on where I currently have them on the mock draft.
Gotcha, good deal. Anything you specifically want to point out in your draft since you've been spending a lot of time putting this together? I don't know if there's anything you want to point out, anything that you're proud of, or anything that you think that you kind of know, any insider knowledge that you think.
Well, there's a lot that's probably going to happen between tonight and tomorrow night as well. As you can see, I have Andre Drummond going number six. He's an athletic big man who has, you know, there goes that word potential that you and I like to bring out. But, you know, he's one
very
of those big men that has a lot of potential. And I tell you what, if the Houston Rockets, he's another guy that the Houston Rockets are interested in if they can't pull off the trade for Dwight Howard. If Andre Drummond is still on the board at number seven, you could see a trade where Houston moves up to number seven and grab Andre Drummond. And Houston is having a hard – I'm sorry, not Houston, Portland at number six is deciding between Andre Drummond and Damian Lillard right now. And I don't think they have decided on which one they're going to pick. Right now I have them taking Andre Drummond. But if they take Damian Lillard, you can see Houston move up to number seven and grab Andre Drummond. And maybe they just, you know, throw in the towel and give up on going after Dwight Howard. But they can easily move up to number seven and grab Andre Drummond. And I believe that you could see a trade that's already kind of in the works if Drummond is on the board at seven. And Houston can make a trade with Golden State.
Gotcha. Now, and I think that this is interesting that you had a story that OKC GM Sam Presti is telling Bradley Beal they're trying to trade up to get him. What do you think about that move?
Well, yeah, basically, you know, just like I said earlier in the show here, that the Charlotte Bobcats and OKC have had some conversations, but Charlotte is asking him for James Harden in return. Yeah. And so it's just a matter if OKC want to give up Harden to move up to number two and get Bradley Beal. Now, you're going to have some contract issues coming up with Oklahoma City here. In another year, you got James Harden is going to be a free agent. And also, Serge Ibaka is going to be a free agent. OKC, don't know if they're going to be able to afford them both. Now, James Harden has already come out and said he will be willing to take a slightly less salary to stay on. But the question still remains, can they pay them both? And I think privately, within the OKC organization, they see Serge Ibaka as being more valuable than James Harden. So if you're going to have to get rid of one of them, they're thinking is to get rid of Harden And then you can get another guy like Bradley Beal who could come in and be a scorer. He may not be James as good as James Harden next year, but he can possibly develop into a better player than James Harden down the road. And so that's the issue here. Now, like I said, Sam Presti's got to make a tough decision here because I think next year you could probably take a slight drop if you get rid of Harden. Do you want to keep Harden for one more year before you try to move him? Or do you pull the trigger now and trade him to the Charlotte Bobcats? Charlotte Bobcats is looking for a main scorer, and James Harden will be that for them. You know, but do they like Bradley Beal enough to give up James Harden?
Wow. That's a tough situation to definitely look at. Wow. The way that Harden, you know, there's been some comments that Harden, they actually enjoy hanging out, him and Durant and Russell Westbrook, they kind of have a tight little bond, too. So, he's trying to make it work, too. So you got to appreciate that. But, you know, like you said, it is a business. Sometimes you have to look other than that and say, hey, you know, you guys can hang out in the off season or something. I don't know. But,
inside that OKC organization, I think they value Ibaka slightly more than Harden because he's an athletic big man. He's improving every year. You could have made a real and strong case that Serge Ibaka could have been the most improved player in the NBA this past season. I mean, he's able to step out, hit that 20-footer now. He led the league in block shots. And so he's a difference maker on the defensive end. He can force players to change shots when they come to the basket. And so I can easily see why OKC may value him a little bit more than Harden.
Wow. Very interesting, too. So a lot of things. Like I said, I guess let's take a quick peek. There's one player that I think has been kind of up and down. That's Perry Jones III. And you have him going to Detroit. And I don't know if a lot of people know about this guy. He's a /center from Baylor. And you got him going pretty high at 9. I mean, what's your take on him, and why do you have him going as high as you have him?
Well, I tell you what, this is a guy that probably can go anywhere from 7 to 17. But this guy's got so much athletic ability, I just cannot see him going into the teens in his draft. He's versatile, too, and he can play 3 positions. He can play the small forward, he can play the power, he can play the center position. So I think he's a very versatile player. And I just think with Detroit, you know, Joe Dumars like these players that can play more than one position. And you compare him with Greg Monroe. I don't know a lot of fans out there. If you haven't watched Detroit, Greg Monroe is one of the up-and-coming stars in this league. He's had a heck of a year the last couple of years in the league. And so you get another big man to pair with Greg Monroe, take a little bit of pressure off Monroe. Perry Jones can run the floor. He is an elite athlete with long wingspan. I just think you get this guy with the right coach, you might have yourself a player here. And, I could see him go as high as number 7, as low as 17, but I just can't see him getting into the teens with that athletic ability.
Wow. It's interesting, too, and I guess another player that I think that we were talking about, too, and I promise I'm not trying to make this call about the Hawks, but you said about Royce White at number 23. This is a guy that you compared to LeBron James-like, and we're not saying he's like LeBron James, but he's a poor man's LeBron James, if you will.
Yes, let's clarify that. I think the perfect comparison with Royce White is an Anthony Mason kind of player. I think that's more of the perfect comparison. Anthony Mason was a playmaking, big, strong power forward, and Royce White is probably the similar kind of player. He can handle the ball. He can get to the basket. I mean, he's an athletic 6'8", 260-something pounds. And so he's a guy, a good friend of mine, made a strong comment. He may even be listening to the show. But he made a good comment to me. He said, Royce White and Joe Johnson may can't be on the floor at the same time because Joe Johnson is not that great, playing without the ball. And Royce White is the same kind of player. He likes to have the ball in his hands. So you don't know if those two guys will clash a lot during the game at the same time. But Royce White could possibly be a guy that can come off the bench and spell when Joe Johnson goes to the bench.
Wow. Like I said, I hopefully that it does not cut off on us, too, because we always have so much time to talk, even during the post-game OT, like we like to call it. But like I said, great conversation. It's going to be an exciting time tomorrow. I guess, Rob, I'll let you have the last thought. It's about 11:44. I know we're probably getting close to the time it's going to cut off, but I guess you have anything to say as we move into next week?
Join us next Wednesday night as we recap the draft and prepare for the NBA free agency. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 friends in Hawaii, 5 p.m. Join us
Woo-hoo!
Next Wednesday night, people. Good night, people.
Good night, people. And I got to tell you, Rob, too, it's interesting, too, because whenever you said that about LeBron James, it's actually in the Sports Illustrated magazine. I guess somebody, Cyclone's assistant, Matt Abdelmassa, actually said LeBron is the one that you can compare him to. So that's pretty interesting. So, you know, wow.
Yeah.
So
poor man, LeBron James. Let's just make sure we clarify that.
Yeah, we're saying that. I know. We're getting excited here, but I know. Talented guy, obviously. But, you know, just basically go to show you that there's a lot of different players. And you know, that's unfair to him, obviously. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of potential there. And we'll see if he can harness it and what type of player, because he does have that that symptom where he's, you know, fear of flying and all that stuff like that, too. So, you know, and Vontae West also has that same type of fear, too. So, you know, there is a player, are other players that are overcoming this, too, but it's not an easy thing to deal with, too. So, you know, good deal. Anyway, thanks, guys, for listening in. See you guys next week. Very excited to hear about the draft. It's going to be a flurry, and who knows, a lot of different things going on. So next week we'll recap everything and keep you up to speed as far as the free agency period as well.